Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to ATP Radio, hosted by Annie Cyrus.
Good afternoon and welcome to ATP Radio. I am your host, Annie Cyrus. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We do have a very special guest today. I promise I will bring her on shortly, but before I do that, if you'd like to call in to either just listen via phone or if you want to come on air with your comments and questions for us today, you can do that by simply dialing the number 516-595-8069. If you come on and you want to be joined on air with us, you need to press 1 so our producer knows to go ahead and screen your call and let me know that you are on hold. So 516-595-8069 and press 1 to come on air with us. The call to action, always, if you haven't done so yet, please go ahead and grab your cell phones inside America, text my name, Annie, A-N-N-I, send it to the number 88202. You will be signed up to our text alert system where you will get text messages on your phone for free with updates as we do work, educational work at American Truth Project, and also notifications to our programming like today. If you don't want to do the text message, that's all right. You can simply go to our website, AmericanTruthProject.org, and subscribe via email there to get the same information you would get via text message. Without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring on our guest this afternoon. She is Sibele Capuzzi. So I knew I'm going to butcher your name, Sibele. Sorry. Capuzzi. I see, I practiced it all day. I flew perfectly the other day, and I still butchered it. I'm sorry. Hi, Sibele.
That's all right. Everybody does. when you have a name like mine, you're used to it. I'm good. How are you, Annie?
I am doing great. For my lovely audience, I'm sorry for doing what I did, but Sibele is a legal, documented, respected immigrant who is now or been for a while an American citizen. However, she is originally from Brazil. And like myself, not only she loves this country, not only she understands the constitution of this country, but she has also been fighting for the constitution, for the freedom, and for the rights that are God-given to us Americans by birth or by citizenship in this country for many years. She does a lot of work. She used to do a lot of videos, but she doesn't do those much often, which I'm hoping to convince her to come back. But she's done many articles, and she also has managed a lot of rallies across America. I actually had the honor to be one of the speakers at one of her rallies back in Nashville, Tennessee. Joy Vila also was involved with some of Sibele's rallies. I'm going to leave it at that. Why don't you take over and quickly tell my audience where you started, what's happening today, and what's the plan for the future?
Okay, where I started in terms of all my activism, is that the question?
Yes, darling.
Okay. Very quickly, it started because I've always been passionate about it because, you know, like you said before, you and I are both immigrants here. We did it legally. We follow all the right steps, and it's a torturous process. I'm not going to say it's not. It's long. It's expensive. You know, there is a lot involved. But, you know, I was raised to do things the right way. So it was either I do it the right way or I don't do it at all. Right. So that's how I was raised to think. So I went through that process. And when in 2017, I think, when there was at the end of 2017, they had a government shutdown because they were trying to protect all the DACA and, you know, So military went without pay. A lot of things happen when the government shuts down. And I was curious one afternoon about that because, you know, our politicians are paid by us, taxpayers, to represent us, payers, and citizens. You know, that's what they're paid to do. And there they were doing a shutdown, not paying people in the military protecting us, not representing the ones that voted for them and put them there to fight for this whole illegal immigration situation that we have. So in the moment that I was very upset, I put together a 5-minute video with a rant, just like pissed off of everything. And I put that was the first video I ever made. And I put that on my Facebook. That video went viral. And because it went viral, I got calls from all kinds of newspapers, radio shows, Fox News was interviewed by Fox and all this stuff. And at that time, I thought, okay, so what I said resonated with a lot of people, you know, so I'm not the only one that feels that way. Other people feel that way. They just, you know, needed someone to voice what they were saying. But to me, that was not enough. You know, just go there and vent was not enough. And then shortly after that, there was the shooting in Parkland, which is the high school that my son attended a couple of years prior to the shooting. So that really hit home hard. And of course, you know, there was that kid, I forgot his name, that started the whole thing, you know, the march, rallies everywhere for gun control and all that stuff. And every time there is a shooting, there they go with the gun control. So as a answer to all of that, that's when I decided to do the rallies. And the rallies were March for Our Rights. When we started Freedom Rights was the organization that we put together to do the rallies. And we organized those rallies in several states. Unfortunately, we didn't have the news coverage that we expected to have, like the other side got. The other side was all over the news. We were not. No, even Fox News, that had interviewed me before, seemingly was not very interested in covering our rallies. But we had, you know, some cities, we had more attendance than other cities. We worked really hard for it. You were one of the rare people that, you know, had a good following on the internet, was known and everything, that accepted to come to our rally and speak for free. You know, most of the famous people have exorbitant fees to go anywhere to speak. So the rallies were good and they were bad. You know, they were good because it got some attention. The message was being put out there that we need to fight for things. We need to fight for the Constitution, not just the Second Amendment, but every amendment. At the time, my main concern, my main focus was our First Amendment, and it continues to be. And all these years later, you see why, you know, my concern was the First Amendment. Look at where we are today. And so the goal of putting those rallies together was not a one-time thing. The goal was to establish freedom rights chapters in every state. So every state would have an organization that would come together and fight on the local level. And so we could, you know, promote candidates to run against people that are extreme, have extreme views. So we could fight with school boards. We could fight legislation on the local level that would infringe on any of our rights. So that was the goal. You know, that's what I really wanted to do at the time. Unfortunately, Freedom Rights ended up closing we couldn't get our nonprofit status established. We tried, we spent money and everything, and of course, the kind of organization that we were, it was really hard, and they wanted more money, and we didn't have it. And we unfortunately had very little support from conservatives to fight. You know, most people were only concerned about the Second Amendment, and I was focused on the Constitution as a whole, and that didn't seem to resonate with as many people as if I had started something that was Second Amendment obsessed. And so that's it. That's a quick story of where I got here. And where I am today, well, I'm not doing much about it other than post on Facebook, and I try to just open people's eyes, and I talk to as many people as I can. That's where I'm at today.
Well, I appreciate you giving us the clip version of where it all started, and I would say I agree. Sadly, most organizations who are, well, no, I shouldn't say organizations, most people like me and you who come from knowing what will happen when they take away our Constitution and turn it into either communist, socialist, Islamist Constitution, we don't get much support. And I think the main reason for it is, number one, it is so hard for average Americans to even tangibly grasp the idea of such life could exist that they reject what we say. It's just so hard
Correct.
For them to say, oh yeah, there's a country that's not going to allow me to be free. That's not possible. So my words,
well,
your words,
also,
it takes longer.
And also I think that Americans always had that feeling, that you probably heard that a few times, right? Whenever you try to, you know, shake people a little bit and say, you know, that's the direction we're going, that the first response is, that will never happen here. You know, so I've heard that so many times. And I think that a lot of Americans are in denial. You know, they don't understand how easy it is to happen here. You know, how and it's happening.
Thank you. That's the key part. It's not about, is it going to happen here? No, it's already happening. It's the question of how far are they going to go before we, the people, are going to actually stand up and do something about it.
Right. Yeah, because it's already here.
Exactly. I know. First of all, I want to just say this. I know I'm putting you on a spot, probably, but I promise my audience I will do everything in my power to get Sybilla back on, you know, joining rallies and doing videos, because her words are literally priceless. We need to hear your wisdom. We need people like you, like me, to speak out again. Because we know, let's do this real quick. Why don't you, okay, so you're looking at what's happening in Cuba right now. What are your thoughts? Just
mm-hmm.
random, let's jump on that track. What are your thoughts?
Actually, after we talk about that, right before we went on the air, I was reading an article that there are protests in Iran right now for the same reason. Okay, so it was very interesting. But my thoughts in Cuba, of course, you know, communism only works, and, you know, what people don't understand is that socialists and communists need to get money somewhere to support their utopia. Okay, their utopia doesn't exist without money. You know, this idea that they're somehow going to create this miraculous society where nobody is rich, everybody's the same. It doesn't exist. It cannot exist. In China, their communist China only works because communist China government does what? they export to all over the world, and they use capitalism to generate the money that that country needs to keep their communist, you know, system. Now, in Cuba, that didn't quite work that well, right, because of the U.S. embargo. So they don't do business with the United States. They do business with other countries, but not with the United States, which, you know, we could be putting a lot of money in their pocket. They depend on tourism and all that stuff. So with COVID, their tourism kind of died. So they were not generating money there. And they can't trade with the United States. So they don't have where to get the money to support their system. So it got to a point where, you know, like Margaret Thatcher used to say, you know, the problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. So they can't support the system. And people are getting to the point there where, you know, they can't get food, they can't get medication, their hospitals are falling apart. You know, the system is broken. It doesn't work. And they're revolting. But these poor people, they don't even have how to revolt. They are unarmed, they're malnourished, and, you know, they don't even have what they need to fight back. But they're trying. God bless them, they're trying. You know, and it ticks me off when I watch the news here and they're like, oh, they are protesting that they don't have COVID vaccines. The hell they are. They're not. They're protesting because they're tired. They're tired of being the working ants for a corrupt government that unfortunately they voted for.
I love,
you know,
you
they help put in power.
Yeah, I was reading about this whole, oh, they're angry because they don't have COVID this. I'm like, seriously? You actually think that people are going to believe that anymore? And here's what I love about pictures that I see, as heart-wrenching as it is. They are supposedly angry that they don't have COVID vaccine, but then they're all walking on the street
with no mask, within an inch of each other. Yeah.
No, waving the American flag. Everybody
knows,
outside of America, anyone who waves the American flag, there's just one symbol behind it, and that is the freedom. The American flag outside of America resembles just freedom.
Correct.
And these people are
literally everywhere.
Yeah,
in every country
for freedom.
They're in every country when they, yeah, I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. Every country when they are trying to break the chains from tyranny, you know, they're waving the American flag. And here we are in the United States with people burning the American flag because it's oppressive. I want to slap people that say that.
Exactly. I was, right before we got on air here, I was on a live feed with Will Johnson on Facebook. We were talking about the recent events of kidnapping plot against an Iranian-American journalist, and that's what I said. You see, they love to force the whole narrative. As I said last week also, Blinken is asking United Nations to start an investigation into systematic racism in America. I'm like, what racism? I haven't faced it. Will Johnson hasn't faced any. Have you faced any racism?
None. None. I made a post the other day about that, actually, that, you know, I have brown skin. You know, I spent a week in the sun. I look like Halle Berry. I'm so dark. You know, it doesn't take much for me to look dark. And so I have dark skin. I have an accent. You know, everybody knows I'm an immigrant and all. I never had an issue, never, you know, but I respect the country. I respect its traditions and customs, and I made a point of learning the language. I don't expect anybody to understand what I'm saying if I don't speak English, you know. So it's all about how you behave. It's all about how you behave. You know, I never experienced anything like that. You know, like I put on my post, if I had any obstacles in my life in the United States, they were obstacles that I created myself from self-doubt, from different reasons. I created those obstacles. The day that I learned to conquer myself, conquer my own insecurities and my own doubts, there was nothing that could stop me. Nothing. You know, achievement is an interior thing, not an exterior thing. You know, this whole BS about, you know, the outside is what dictates who you're going to be. It's pure crap. That's not the fact. It's who you are inside. Right? You know, it has nothing to do with skin color. It has nothing to do with racism. Am I going to say that racism doesn't exist? Of course not. There are people who are racist in every different level. You know, black people, they're racist against whites. White people, they're racist against blacks. You know, people, they're racist against Asians. They exist. Those people do exist. But they are not the majority. Okay, they're not the majority. They're very few and far between. They're out there. They're diluted among millions of people that couldn't care less what your skin color is.
Well, let me ask you this actually out of curiosity, because yes, there are good and bad everywhere. That's just fact. But let me ask you this. In Brazil, for example, is there such a law within the Constitution of Brazil that says nobody can discriminate against you based on your skin color or race?
No.
Do they have
some? Not under the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Not under the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Can I tell you how stupid this whole thing here, you know, that the left is promoting is? And it's funny that he mentioned Brazil. Because Brazil, the population of Brazil is 53%. People of color, either black or mixed race, okay, 53%. So technically, whites are the minority there, right? And yet, the platform of the left in Brazil is exactly the same as the platform here. I grew up, I had never, ever worried about racism. There were TV shows with people of every color and everything. That was not a thought, okay, with growing up. If my friends were black, white, blue, whatever color they were. I grew up in an area predominantly Arabic. You know, a lot of Lebanese that fled Lebanon and went to Brazil. So nobody cared. Nobody cared. And then I would say about 10 years ago, the left in Brazil realized that this was a very powerful weapon that they had to use. So they started with all this crap that we have here in the United States. They started in Brazil too, which makes no sense because you have a population that is predominantly of color. And somehow they have been able, through this campaign that is like 24/7 in your head, to convince people in Brazil that there is systematic racism there too. Okay?
Wow.
People believe that there. That's how powerful this is. So that's why I don't buy this crap here in the United States. It says, people, wake up. You know? Wake up. You know, this has nothing to do with America. This has nothing to do with Brazil. This has nothing to do with any country. This is a globalist tool. That's what it is. It's a globalist tool. And they apply in every country that they want to, exactly the same, regardless of demographics, regardless of economy. They apply exactly the same tool because it works.
That is interesting because there are, at least Iran, for example, there is actually systematic racism in Iran. Let me give you an example. For example, a lot of Afghan people migrated to Iran when, you know, their country started falling apart with Taliban, or Al-Qaeda, as it's called here. They migrated to Iran, but they are officially considered, even on their paperwork, they are considered second-class citizens. For example, if you're an Afghan in Iran, even though you have Iranian citizenship, your driver license or your identification card has a symbol on it. So if you go apply for a job at a bank or any federal job, as soon as they see that symbol, they won't even hire you. You are not, you don't have the right to have that job. If you are a Sunni Muslim from Iraq, the same thing. They don't kill you for being a Sunni, but you're a second-class citizen. First of all, you pay two taxes. One is the normal tax of the country. The second one is the second-class citizen tax of the country, which they call it protection. So technically, you pay immigration tax for becoming an immigrant in Iran.
Interesting.
And that's my point. The funny part of the squad coming out and screaming systematic racism, I literally want to grab Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. I'm like, I'm sorry, wait a minute. You're telling me you're worried about systematic racism in America while both of you Middle Eastern ladies are congresswomen in this country, but you're not going to come out and say Islamic countries do have systematic racism written inside their constitution. Let's just keep lying to people. But before we move forward, we have a caller who's been patiently on hold for a while. We have David. Let's bring him on. I don't know if he has a question or comment, but hi, David. Are you with us?
I am. Good afternoon, ladies. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you so much. What do you have for us?
Well, I wanted to call in. I've been enjoying the show, listening. You're hitting on all the points. You're absolutely, you guys are spot on. Sibeli knows me. This is David DiCrescenzo. Sibeli, how are you?
Hey, David.
Hey. And I wanted to, to chime in because I, as Sibeli knows, last year I ran for the school board in Palm Beach County in Florida, and I did so because I recognized that everything that you're talking about, and I think probably worldwide, but certainly here in America. All these things that are going on, students thinking that America is a terrible place, burning down cities, murdering police officers and citizens, that is a product of a broken education system. And it's one thing that needs to be done quickly. We need to reverse that. So this whole thing with critical race theory, that's got to go out the window because that is just fueling that fire. And I really do think people are waking up to that right now. But we have to educate our young people, that America is a good place. We're not perfect. We never said we were. But I don't see anybody, and if you guys do, please correct me, I don't see anybody getting in bathtubs or other homemade craft and leaving this country, going to places like Cuba or Brazil or anywhere else. I mean, people come to America to be free. They don't leave here. And as far as, our two favorite congresspeople that you mentioned a moment ago, I always have a chuckle when people say that, one or the other or both of them should be removed from office immediately. I don't think what people understand is their districts were created. So if you remove them from office, what do you think is going to replace them? You're going to get the same or worse because that's all that lives in their district, really. And they're so powerful in those communities that if somebody who was not like them ran, they have almost no chance of winning.
Well, true. I think that they were, it was Rashida that had nobody running against her, right, Annie?
Yes, she had no opponent.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, nobody running against her. But that's because we allow those areas to grow. You know, we allow those areas to have that much power, and there they are. There was a purpose for this.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
it wasn't
and
so much allowed. It was planned.
It was very well planned, very well planned. I had posted, even before I met Annie, I had posted so much about this because this was something that bothered me so much, you know, because I could see how they were using our laws against us.
Absolutely.
You know, to be able to, yeah, to be able to take root and grow and all that. And look where we are today. And this was years ago. That was before, you know, we had a Rashida or Elon, you know, it was before that. And look where we are today. You know, so for me, that's upsetting because I see what's behind it, which is the supremacy, you know, the real supremacy behind the ideology, you know, and I never lived it. I cannot even imagine how it feels to be Annie in this situation where she lived under that kind of oppression and watch this grow here. You know, I can't even fathom what it feels like.
I have to agree. Well, I've never lived under that, but I will tell you that the warning bells have been going off for decades. People like you, Sibeli, you know, my friend Brigitte Gabriel, you know, Pamela Geller is someone that I know, and I've had sit-downs with both of those women. They've been sounding the alarm for decades, and people are only really just now starting to pay attention. And the other thing is, too, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, Annie, that you may have noticed in the last, during the Trump administration, the acts of terrorism have been significantly reduced, and I don't think that's an accident. I'm pretty sure that's planned. I think they've been like, cool your jets, calm down. We don't have to do that anymore because they're lining it up so that we can walk right in anyway. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but it's hard to say, but they are definitely keeping a low profile in the last 2 or 3 years. During Trump's administration, we didn't have that. We had a few isolated incidents here and there, but there was nothing that you might call sensational in the news about it, at least nothing that came to my attention. So it's something to think about.
Yeah, but David, you need to keep in mind, even though many people have been for years and are still talking about and exposing at least the danger of Islam, you also need to realize, look back at September 11th. The reaction of the country, and then look back at the latest terrorist attack. It has normalized itself, thanks to the left, and also Republicans, don't get me wrong, because if we look back, it was President Bush who couldn't wait to run and say, it has nothing to do with Islam. Islam is a religion of peace, even though if you were to ask two questions of Islam, he wouldn't know how to answer. Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. The point is, they have managed to normalize this jihad system to the point where, yes, maybe 10% of Americans are aware of the reality behind Islam, but the rest of them have actually drank the Kool-Aid of, this has nothing to do with Islam. They're just a bunch of radicals. Oh, that one was a lone wolf, and that one was a radical brainwash. We still haven't managed to be able to tell the truth about what Islam stands for by saying there is no radical Islam. There are those who claim to be Muslim but rather not do the jihad. But the toolbox named Islam comes with bombs and killing. And until we achieve that, there is nothing we can do because we're either going to say, oh, we made history, the first Muslim this and first Muslim that and first Muslim that, or we're going to go with the narrative of, oh, you know, Dearborn is gone and Minnesota is gone. It's like it's not part of America anymore. It actually frustrates me when I hear people like, oh, they can have Michigan. It's theirs. No, they can't. It's my land. It's America. Nobody can have any piece of America when it comes to communism, socialism, or Islam. I'll fight for every corner of this land.
Absolutely. I mean, you just said something a moment ago, and you really hit the nail on the head with that, because you're right. I use the analogy that I use is when we hear about an Islamist, you know, doing something really terrible, like the people on 9/11, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What people don't get is those people aren't insane. They're devout. Just as if a Christian walks around, you know, doing Bible studies and doing door-to-door, helping people out and doing things that Christ did, we say that that person is a devout Christian. He's living according to the word. And these Muslims that do these attacks, they're being devout. Their holy books tell them to do exactly what they do. And when anybody says that they're just, you know, whatever, they try to reverse it. It's like, no, they're doing what their book tells them to do. That's the absolute truth. I know you know that.
Absolutely. David, thank you so much for calling in. We do have a few more callers. I want to make sure
to answer
their questions as well. We appreciate you calling in. Stay for the rest of the program and make sure to share this radio with your friends.
I absolutely will. You guys have a great afternoon. Thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you,
David. Thank you,
David. Looks like we have a call from Tom calling from Hawaii with a question. Hi, Tom. What do you have for us?
Yeah, hi. You know, I just came off first time, and I was listening. And so I just heard that it's been planned. So I heard it's been planned, and then it's been going on for decades. So then I listened more, and then it came up that you're talking about Muslim taking hold in the United States and getting some power. Is that what then this?
No. There is no such a thing as Muslims ex-Islam. This is about global caliphate, to where Islam will be the complete constitution over human society.
Oh, so that's what the discussion is about. This what their goal is to have complete power over all humans, no matter who you are,
now,
no matter what country.
Exactly. Now, the discussion in general is the comparison between our beautiful constitution in America that different groups such as Islamists, communists, socialists, also known as red-green axis, is trying to take away the constitution we have, which is our freedom and liberty, so they can gain control over our nation here in America as well.
How do you think that started or allowed to happen?
In America?
In the United States, yeah. How do you think that that has been allowed to start and happen? What time frame in the United States, and why do you think that's been allowed to infiltrate into the United States?
Well, the reason that has been allowed to infiltrate is, I will always refer everyone to a book written by Dr. Jamie Glazov, United in Hate. The unholy alliance between the left and Islam is why it's allowed. The bottom line is somehow burn down America to the ground and then build their deluded utopia on the ashes left behind. So the why is because the Democrat Party, or more specifically, the Socialist Democrat Party, has been on a mission to take America into where there is no freedom, so there can be a systematic brainwash and control of life. Now, as I said, they have used both system of communism and Islam to get it there. As far as when, a lot of people think this all started with September 11. No, I would say around 1950s is when the actual plan started. The implementation started with 1979. From there on, September 11 was the key to turn it into a normalized situation in America. Sibella, you want to add to that?
Well, that's your line of expertise, not mine. You know, I read a lot about it, but I have to agree with you. I was trying to remember the name of that document that they unearthed in Switzerland that had the whole plan from the Muslim Brotherhood to, you know, infiltrate in the United States. And that document was written, like you said, in the late 50s, like 60s, and then there was a whole plan lined up to the point of putting together names of organizations and everything that they do exist in the United States. So they did have a very well put together plan, you know, to expand into Western countries where, you know, the religion, the ideology was not really accepted. And they follow through that plan to a T, you know, they have not deviated from it at all. And I wrote an article about that, about the alliance between the left and Islam. And it's exactly my thought, what you said, you know, to the left, it makes no difference who they use. It's the means to an end. You know, it's an ideology that will force you into submission one way or the other, right? Same thing with communism. It will force you into submission one way or the other.
Is this the Achilles heel? So, you know, if you find the Achilles heel, if you show your Achilles heel or you have an Achilles heel, you know what that means, you know, your weakness, your one spot that has been able to be attacked and then take you down. So if the United States has that Achilles heel, and that is what that would allow that to occur, that would be too much openness. Too much openness and diversity and allowing anything to enter your country and culture is your Achilles heel.
I think that what is our greatest gift is also our Achilles heel. Our greatest gift is the Constitution and the rights.
Exactly right. The Constitution.
It makes sure.
One.
Yeah.
That's
our greatest gift, you know. But it's also because you see how it's used against us, you know. Like
yeah,
the First Amendment.
You know when the Constitution was like put out, George Washington was still our president, and it was 1787 is when the Constitution was put into place. 1787. And then in 1790, they wrote the first citizenship law, which had quite a bit of control and a say of who is allowed and who can be a citizen of the United States. And once that was the Achilles heel. See, because the great founding fathers, the geniuses that they were, they realized that you cannot have diversity. You can have it in the country, but you can't have diversity allowed to take hold and actually have the ability to make changes in your country. Because once that is, they will have the opportunity to overtake and change what it is that you are. You see? So, yeah, the Constitution was great in saying that, yes, we will allow diversity. But then in 1790, they said, okay, but we're only going to have a certain group of people of likeness to actually be citizens and have the ability to vote within the borders of the United States.
That's true, Tom, the reason I was
asking you why you think this happened, I believe it happened in 1865 when the 14th Amendment was forced and dictated. That was our Achilles heel. That was tyranny. Until then, the United States was pretty solid. But then, you know, they allowed other things to change and change and change and change and change. And then basically, this is where we're at today.
Well, I would agree. Sorry, let me quickly say, I would agree with about 80% of your statement, but it goes back to our Constitution as of today is still as close as you get to perfection of a liberty, freedom, and diverse society. The problem
we're under tyranny right now. We aren't even the United States, the original. It took tyranny to get to where we are today.
But I don't think that the 14th Amendment is a problem. You know, it just gives people it gives people the ability to do legally change their citizenship, you know, and become a citizen of the United States.
Tyranny, though.
They're,
so the problem is that it was tyranny. The problem is that it was tyranny. So it is the problem. Once you take the vote away from the people, what do you mean why? Because the Congress at the time told the Senate of the states they had to vote in the 14th Amendment or they will lose congressional representation. That is basically telling them, we don't care what you want to vote, you have to vote our way or it's the highway. And that's how the 14th Amendment became. It took 5 years to ratify. It didn't happen overnight.
Okay.
So that is our.
I'm failing to understand your point. If you are against how the 14th Amendment came about, or if you're against the 14th Amendment itself.
Well, because it was tyranny, I have to be against it. If the citizens of the times vote was taken away completely, then it doesn't exist. And it was the tyranny, and that's our problem. You can never have tyranny because once it starts, it sets precedents for lack of control in other parts of your government like we're having today. We've lost that control once the tyranny existed once. So this is our problem. This is why we don't have any control on our borders. This is why big business doesn't have laws that pertain to them and they control. I blame it all on big business allowing this to happen because they can't.
Well, but I blame we the people, American citizens, for letting this happen. We did.
Well, yeah,
to this
yeah,
day,
yeah. Well,
we have failed ourselves.
What?
Go ahead.
It happened at the 14th Amendment. That was the Achilles heel.
I disagree with you on that.
We'll think about it for a while, and you'll see that it is. Because, see, once you start allowing anybody and everybody and anything to come and enter your country, you now lose the ability to have control. But once you have control you have an understanding of what it is that you base your country on, it will stay cohesive and stay together.
But that will happen. But listen, that will happen no matter what, okay? You know how many people live in Rome today? Do you know how many people live in Rome today that are not Romans? Do you know how many people live in Israel today that were not born in Israel? That will happen no matter what. You got to have the proper laws to screen people and make sure that you are taking – you're not taking the criminal element
Let me finish.
And that's where Annie and I are always talking about it because both Annie and I are immigrants. Annie and I are naturalized citizens. Okay. And I'll tell you this.
That's what I'm saying. But that's why you're against what I say, because you are an immigrant of today. But if you were
get what you're saying. I don't get what you're saying because there is a difference between doing things properly and following the law and doing things illegally.
But the law
okay? Every country is going to have immigration. That happens everywhere. And you do it legally. You know, you go to that country and you follow the laws and you do it. And every country has immigration laws. Every country has naturalization laws. This is not unique to the United States. It's everywhere in the world. You know, it doesn't happen just here. So we needed laws to give people the ability to immigrate from different countries to the United States. Otherwise, the United States today wouldn't have enough people left. You know, they needed to have people coming in. So because the country was founded by people that came from other places. They were not born here. They didn't exist here prior. They came from other countries. So because they came from other countries to form the United States, they created a law that allow for other people to do the same thing legally. You know, you wouldn't have a United States today if it was not for founding fathers, for people coming from other countries to this country. You know, the American natives, the Indians, were not going to form the United States of America. This was formed by immigrants legally. And they created a law to allow for that to continue on a legal way so they can screen people properly. My problem is with the illegal part of it, because we don't know who the heck is crossing those borders. That I have a problem with.
Well, here's the thing. I had to go ahead and mute Tom because he was interrupting your discussion. When I muted him, he decided to hang up, which is okay.
Good.
I don't tolerate people who try to make a point, and then when you disagree, they try to interrupt your point. Number one, 14th Amendment has nothing to do with letting everybody in. 14th Amendment,
no.
For those of my audience who are not familiar with it, it's simplified to four sections, and all four sections are saying Americans, either by birth or legal citizenship, all have equal rights. That's what 14th Amendment is about. It has nothing to do with tyranny. It has nothing to do with vote my way or highway. It has nothing to do with Tom was explaining, and I kept trying to explain 14th Amendment, but he wouldn't let me. That's for that. 14th Amendment is basically equal rights on all aspects and corners, from committing a crime and facing consequences to being a good citizen and being rewarded for. It's equal rights to those who are born in America or came to America under legal circumstances and became a citizen. Now, what Tom says, claiming that me and you would disagree because we're immigrants, number one, I think that is a very, very, very bigoted comment. Even though we weren't born in America, but both of us are fighting for America more than many Americans who were born in America, including people such as Nancy Pelosi and AOC and Kamala Harris. Guess what? They were born in America, but none of them cared to fight for America. That's the second point.
Correct.
Now, the third part is I agree with you. There is nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, wrong with immigration. If you do it, the title of this program, for those of you who are listening on the phone, the title of this program is Constitutional Immigration, the Right Way. Yes, we are actually promoting the constitutional immigration, because if it wasn't for the United States of America's constitutional immigration law, I wouldn't be alive today. I would probably be killed by the man who bought me from my father. But we are against those who think they have the right to hop over the fence, jump over the wall, come in and say, I want a life in America. And then I'm not going to remove my hijab or denounce Islamic jihad, but I still want to have a citizenship. That's what we're against, right?
Correct. Correct. That's exactly it. And you know, I'm actually glad that Tom came online and we had this little heated discussion there, because that is a clear example of how and of why conservatives never get anywhere. Okay. And why conservatives are losing the battle. We're losing the battle because we're not united. We're losing the battle because among conservatives, you have some people like that, you know, that it's all or nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to be born here. They completely disregard the fact that the United States wouldn't exist if it was not for the people that came from outside, you know. You have to be born here. They don't like this. They don't like that. Or some of them only care about their Second Amendment rights, and they completely disregard the fact that their First Amendment is being completely taken away, and pretty soon they'll have no way of communication, and their Second Amendment will be granted useless. So conservatives are very divided. You have the extremely religious that are really stuck on certain issues, And then you have the ones that see themselves as constitutional scholars. They're stuck in other issues, but they're not united in one platform. They're not. While the liberals are completely united, even when their platform makes absolutely zero sense, they still come together and support it. And they don't care. As long as they can keep the control of things, they come together, they support it, they keep fighting, and they fight day in, day out, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. While us conservatives do what? We fight among ourselves. We have different ways of thinking, and nobody is willing to put that aside and fight together for a common goal. Actually, nobody is willing to do zip. We talked about that, you and I, Annie. We talked about that. How much work you put into this, how much work I put into this, but we're not in it for profit. We're in it for the love that we have for this country and for freedom. And because we're not in it for profit, nobody cares. We don't get the support that we need, and we don't get anybody to join us to do something. Because we can talk every day for an hour like this and still change nothing. You know, people need to start, you know, people need a come to Jesus moment here and start realizing that they need to start acting. They need to start doing things where they live, in their cities, their states, to change stuff. And they have to stop with this stupid bickering about, you know, their conspiracies and all that stuff. Come together. There is a bigger issue here, and we're losing the battle. Sorry, rant over.
Oh, don't apologize. I agree. Everything you said, exactly. It's that, again, I have done so many live feeds, but I literally almost beg people to put your little tiny differences aside. I literally think this is a tiny little small difference. I don't expect every American born to accept me. I don't. But I do expect them to understand what I fight for has nothing to do with my birth certificate versus my certification of citizenship. It doesn't. As a human being who has tangibly put years of her youth into earning the freedom I have today, I have every right to stand up and fight for it. That's all there is to it.
Correct.
Who's from, where, what is your religion, what is your skin color, what languages do you speak? It does not matter at this point. Honestly, I have said it many times. I don't even care if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican registered. I don't care. If you're an American, I'm with you. If you stand by our flag proudly, I'm all about you. If you understand the Constitution, understand, that's a key word. And I can tell you, I promise you, that 98% of legal immigrants understand the American Constitution better than American-born Americans. Because when we get here, the first thing we do is we sit there and read the Constitution, not only incomplete, wow, that we have been missing out for years. Also, we want to make sure we don't do anything illegal that's going to jeopardize our life in America. So we sit there, we read it, we analyze it, we understand it. We don't go around saying 14th Amendment is tyranny, huh? There is not a single amendment in our Constitution that represents tyranny. And this comes from an ex-Muslim, former child bride, who lives in a country with a complete Constitution that is filled with tyranny, filled with discrimination, filled with racism. I can guarantee you not a single word in our Constitution has anything to do with tyranny. But then sadly, when you have Americans, this is how the hatred toward America started. Misunderstanding, spreading wrong information about our Constitution. I beg people to read the Constitution. Why do you think we have a brand new generation of young children of America who hate our country so much? Because they never bothered to read the Constitution themselves. They just heard it from other people that says our Constitution is horrible. And worse than that, they never bothered to compare our Constitution to any other country. You do that and you come to realize United States of America's Constitution is literally as perfect as you can ever get to a written documentation.
You're right.
Sorry, my rant's
over
too.
No. We are both very passionate about it. Very passionate. Because we fought hard to be here. And we fight to preserve all the freedoms that so many take for granted. You know, so we're both passionate about it. And I think that that's why we're friends. You know, it's our love for freedom. Simple. It's simple as that. Love for freedom. And I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. And I don't want anybody to lose it. I don't want my son to lose it. You know, I don't want my grandchildren not to have it. Hopefully I'll have grandchildren someday. I don't want to look at my grandchildren in the eye and say, you know, I'm sorry, grandma was too much of a wimp to fight for your future. You know, I don't want to do that. So you risk your life every day. I know that because, you know, there's a bounty on your head for being who you are and doing what you do. So I have a lot of respect for you for that. It's not the case with me. There is no bounty on my head. A few death threats of, you know, when I sent that video out that went viral, but then people forgot who I was and my life went back to normal. But yours, you risk your life every day. And I think that more Americans need to look at that and say, why would you do that? What is it that I'm missing? What is it that I'm not seeing that this woman sees that it's so important? You know, and I just hope that we can bring that message to more people. You know, people, they're clueless, thinking that they're oppressed. They're not oppressed. There is no oppression in this country.
Agreed. If anybody is oppressed in the United States of America, they are the type of people who like to be a victim. In America, by laws, regulations, and constitution, you should not be oppressed. If you are, you have allowed it to happen personally.
Mm-hmm. You have created your own hell.
Exactly. We are out of time here, but before we go, I want you to please tell my audience your where they can find you. So until we get you back on rallies and videos and all that good stuff, but in the meantime, where can they find you to see your posts that you post to inform people?
Okay, I have a blog that unfortunately I haven't had time to write that much lately, but I also have a Facebook page that is Cibele on the Level, and my blog is CibeleOnTheLevel.com. But you can follow me on Facebook on Cibele on the Level, and I put my ideas there and my little rants every now and then. And when they allow me to post videos again, I will. My account is restricted. I cannot post any videos or anything.
Oh, boy. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. And hopefully we'll bring you back to do more of these discussions because people need to hear it from people like me and you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Annie. Have a great evening.
Thank you. And for our lovely audience who stayed with us until now, we appreciate you very much. Remember, if you want to stay in touch with me and American Truth Project, all you got to do is send my name, text ANNI, send it to the number 88202, or just go to our website, americantruthproject.org, sign up there. On that note, please stay safe and stay vigilant. Keep on getting informed on the issues we are facing today as a nation. I will talk to you all next Monday, same time, same channel. Goodbye.
You were listening to ATP Radio with Annie Cyrus.